May it please Almighty God to bless our souls this morning as we meditate in His Word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we'll read verse 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and reading verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" This was a very wonderful day in the history of the world. Without this day, without that which occurred on that day, we would have no hope of eternal life. We would be left as lost and ruined sinners. But we can be very, very thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, rose from the dead. On this day, we don't know precisely, of course, what day it was, but we're thankful to be able to remember it in perhaps a more especial way as we do today. Of course, the Lord appeared a number of times to people from the time he rose from the dead until that time when he ascended up to glory. And of course, as we read the last couple of verses in this 24th chapter, we almost see that the Lord went straight from that Emmaus Road experience almost to then be taken to Bethany and to go to glory. But of course, there were a good number of days, I think it was 40 days, between the Lord rising from the dead and the time that he actually went home to glory to be with his Father in heaven. But this particularly this morning, I want to speak really about these two on their journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It was a very wonderful occasion. And we're told the distance was something like 70 furlongs, which again relates to something like 7.5 miles. So it would have been quite a reasonable journey, and I guess the roads weren't as smooth as they are today, nor the pavements, and I guess it would have taken something like about 3 hours to have done that journey. Well, we're not told, of course, when the Lord Jesus drew near and went with them, but we do know he did draw near and went with them, and he then carried on to the end of their journey. So it could have been, and we just make some assumption, if perhaps he actually walked with them for perhaps it was 2 hours or so on that Emmaus Road. And it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. And we're told something about it in this 24th chapter. We're told what these two people on this journey were speaking. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, first of all, we must notice it was good that these two were speaking about those things which had happened. And of course, what had happened was the crucifixion. And what happened perhaps prior to that was the Lord had been in the judgment hall and had been in Gethsemane, and of course it also introduced the Lord's Supper on that Passover night. So there was much to speak about, and then he'd risen from the dead, and all these things they were perplexed about. They couldn't really understand what had happened. And you know, these things are recorded for us today, because sometimes we may not understand the great truth of God. It may just appear to us about to be an historical account, and we may not really understand the great significance of these things. So it'll be a great blessing, like it was with these two, if Jesus himself draws near and goes with us in our journey. Jesus himself drew near indeed and went with them. And we're told it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. They weren't blessed with that spiritual sight at that time. Of course, it was the risen Lord, and we are not told how the Lord had changed from the time when he was crucified to the time that he rose from the dead in that risen form. But nonetheless, he was in that same form, that he was indeed to be recognized. And so we have this statement then. The Lord came and he asked them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And again, it's good that you and I just take note of these things. They were sad. Why were they sad? Because they couldn't understand the great and wonderful things which had occurred. They believed certain things were true, but they just were lacking that understanding. And they were sad because of it. And again, that's good for us to take note and to be not discouraged if sometimes we can't understand the great truth of Scripture. And we should realize that here it was, on this occasion, it was the blessed Spirit of God which opened their understanding. And my friends, it's exactly the same today. You and I need the blessed work of the Holy Spirit to open our understanding. And so the Lord asked them what their communication was and why they were sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days?" And the Lord said, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth." See, these are the things which were uppermost in their thoughts and minds. And it's a good thing for us today if these things are uppermost in our hearts and minds. They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." So they gave a very concise description of why they were discussing these things and why they were perplexed and why they were sad. And then you see the Lord comes. The Lord speaks. And he speaks words of great blessing and great wisdom. He says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Well, how true that is today. Perhaps it's true in our lives. Perhaps it has been true in our lives. Perhaps it is still true today. The Lord speaks perhaps words like this to our hearts. See, this is what the Lord was addressing. O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know how backward we are, how reluctant we are perhaps to believe the great word of God. And how often we have to contend with the evil heart of unbelief. Somehow we just don't want to believe. Somehow we just can't seem to believe. Somehow we seem to be foolish and so ignorant in these things. And sometimes it doesn't worry us. Sometimes we carry on in this state, willing to be ignorant of the great truth of the Word of God. Well, it'll be a great blessing for us today if we have the evidence that these two spoke about. And this was the evidence. They said this: did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opens to us the scripture? You may ask, well, what does he really mean, our heart to burn within us? Well, it means that within us there's that wonderful warmth towards the things of God. That cold condition that we've had, that unconcerned condition that we've possessed, has been blessedly changed and moved by the glorious work of the Spirit of God within. And this is what it produces. Produces a change in our heart, because God gives us a new heart, a heart to believe the great and precious and glorious truths of the gospel. Now, every born again child of God, in measure, is blessed with this. And so what a glory it is, as you and I can ponder these things and look into our hearts to trace out the blessed work of God within, which has produced this, so that it may not be a great fire within, but may there be that warmth in our hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the prophet says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And these things do really mean nothing of any true nature unless the Holy Spirit comes and touches our heart. Now then, these two on this Emmaus road, they were moved, weren't they, by the blessed words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That's a question that he puts to them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And perhaps the Holy Spirit may put that question to us. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And we may have to say, I don't know. I don't understand. Well then, what a blessing it is if, like on this occasion, the Lord indeed comes and speaks to us from his word. That's what occurred now. This is what we read. And beginning at Moses. Well, when it says beginning at Moses, what it means, of course, is Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those were written by Moses, and it was an amazing accomplishment under the blessed influence of the Spirit of God. But way back, you see, in those books, we trace out so much of the prophecy with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've often reminded you, those blessed prophecies commence in the third chapter of Genesis and in the 15th verse, where the Lord speaks about that the Lord will bruise Satan's head. The effect of the great and glorious work of God will have a tremendous effect. And of course, that had to wait many, many years, but it came to pass. It came to pass when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross at Calvary. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now just try and imagine. There is the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with these two on that Emmaus road. And let's assume that the journey was some 2 hours, and therefore he would have preached a sermon 2 hours long to them, going right back from the beginning of Genesis right up to the end of Malachi, and telling them and explaining to them how that what had occurred was so clearly prophesied. It wasn't something which had just occurred by chance. It wasn't something that just happened. It was that which had been prophesied by Almighty God. And it was these great and glorious truths which had a wonderful effect upon these two, so that they were able to come and say, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Well, it was a most amazing time, obviously. And we have to come down now to the age in which we live. And of course, we don't physically have the Lord Jesus coming to us. But you know, the Lord does still come to us by his Spirit. He does still draw near to us. He does still open to us the scriptures. He does still come and shed heavenly light into our hearts. And it's these blessings and it's these favours which bring to us warmth in our heart towards the Saviour. True worship. It's not a false worship. It's not just a hypocritical worship. It's not just going through a form of worship, but it's the very life of our souls, because we are blessed with that reality that the Lord is speaking to us. The Lord is revealing himself to us through the scriptures. That's what happened here. It wasn't some thing which was outside of the scriptures. It was that which was in the scriptures, and it was that which produced the wonderful blessing to these two on this Emmaus road. Well, it'll be a great blessing for us today if you and I are able to ponder and meditate upon these things which the Lord Jesus spoke here. We don't know the exact detail, but we do know the overall picture. And the overall picture is just very simply this: that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures, right from Genesis, right to Malachi, all the minor prophets, all the larger prophets, the Psalms, all the historical accounts, and all the things that Moses wrote. What a wonderful What a wonderful time it must have been. And perhaps we think, well, I wish it had been recorded so that I can now read it. Well, the Lord is sovereign in these things. And I believe that one of the reasons these things, as we might say, are hidden, it's so that the Holy Spirit does and can reveal them to us, so that we rejoice at the revelation of these things to our soul. In the same way that these two on that Emmaus road rejoiced in the great glorious news of the gospel. How good it was. And when we think, beginning at Moses, I've just touched on that back in Genesis, and of course then we have the wonderful deliverance of Noah and his family in the ark, which we preached on fairly recently. And there was that deliverance, wasn't there? And we have the picture of the ark, safety in the ark, and we have a picture of Christ, safety in Christ. Well, that's a wonderful picture, and it's a wonderful thing to ponder. And then, of course, we can move on, and we can't obviously go through this morning all the many, many, many prophecies of the Saviour, but just to touch on one or two very glorious ones. And perhaps we can think of that time when Israel came out of Egypt. They've been in Egypt for 400 or so years. Hadn't been a happy time. Long time, 400 years. And as it got farther on from the beginning, it got worse and worse. But the time of deliverance was at hand. And the Lord had determined that his servant Moses should be the one who would be used to lead Israel out of Egypt and to lead them through the wilderness. And they came to that set time, the set time to deliver Israel from Egypt. And there is, my friends, in our lives a set time to deliver us from what we might term spiritual Egypt. That means that they were in prison, they couldn't get away from Egypt. And you see, left to ourselves, we can't get away from the world. We're in the world. And you see, the devil, if he can, will make it all the more hard for us. And so it was in the case of Israel. But the time came when deliverance would be wrought about. And initially, of course, as you well know, Pharaoh was shown all those plagues which were brought upon the Egyptians, but it didn't have any real effect upon Pharaoh. And then there was that last plague, which was when all the firstborn were to be destroyed of all the Egyptians, not only in the families but in all the cattle. There was the firstborn to be slain. And in order to safeguard the Israelites, the Lord introduced that wonderful work and picture of the Passover. And it's given in some detail. Again, you won't trace it out at this time, but it's given in some detail, and it's worthwhile reading about the instructions of the Passover, because it is a wonderful picture. And I believe this, if you just read it as an historical account, it won't actually warm your heart. But if the Holy Spirit comes and touches your heart, you would indeed rejoice in it, because it sets forth the great and glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ redeeming his church. Redeeming his church from bondage. Redeeming his church from captivity by Satan. And we see the wonderfully significant picture on that occasion when they had to take a lamb without blemish, a lamb without blemish, and slay it and take the blood and place the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, and to eat the Lamb of God roast in the fire with bitter herbs. And all those who then had partaken of that lamb, who went into their dwellings, they passed under the blood which was on the doorposts and the lintels. When that angel of God passed over the Egyptians, they were safe. They were safe. Safety was there because they were under the blood. Now the great and wonderful picture is this. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed died. He endured the flames of the wrath of God on our behalf. Just like that lamb was roasted in the flames, the blessed Saviour was roasted in the flames of God's wrath for us. And they were to partake of it with bitter herbs. And we today are to partake spiritually of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God, there is no life in you. It's a spiritual food, the spiritual feast. And it's bitter to do it because it brings into our hearts condemnation because of our sins. What a picture that is. What a wonderful picture. And then to realise that the blood was there as a sign of safety, and it's still there for us today. The Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his precious blood upon that cross at Calvary. And if you and I are under that shed blood, there is eternal safety now, as the Lord Jesus Christ would have, without any doubt, testified of these things as he showed to them the great and blessed truth concerning himself. How these two on the Emmaus road were indeed warmed in their heart to realize the glory of the Passover and what it signified, and then to realize that now they were face to face with not what we term the Paschal Lamb, but the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it was the very Lamb of God who was now speaking to them, who was now revealing to them himself as their Saviour, revealing to them that he was the Saviour of sinners. What a wonderful occasion it was. Well, today, may it be so with us, that in measure we rejoice in this great record we have in the Word of God, that our hearts may warm as we meditate upon what the Lord Jesus Christ indeed did. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that was the occasion, of course, when Israel came out of Egypt. And then, of course, we know that there was, when the tabernacle was erected, when Moses was shown what was to be constructed in all the fullness of the tabernacle, in all the various parts of it, they all directed to Christ. And so we can think the Lord Jesus Christ would have described all those various elements in the tabernacle, directing the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful picture it was. How encouraging it would have been for them. And also then to have gone back to the time of Abraham, on that great occasion when there was that substitution. He was told to offer up his only son. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be offered up as the only son of God the Father. And yet we see on that mountain, at Mount Moriah, what a wonderful picture of substitution. As Abraham was about to slay his son, Almighty God told him to stop and pointed him to the substitute, that ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And that ram was taken and offered up instead of Isaac. And the picture shows to us the Lord Jesus Christ offered up instead of us as a great and glorious substitution. Well, to think that the Lord God Almighty willingly gave himself as an offering for your sin and my sin. Is that not glorious truth? Is it not that which should warm our hearts to have such a view and to believe, yes, that was done for me? Surely we can imagine, therefore, in some small way, of these two talking with the Saviour and the wonderful revelation of this to their very souls, as it says, to their hearts, their innermost being. That's what it did. Did not our heart burn within us? It wasn't just a natural attraction. It didn't just tickle their fancy. It wasn't just their mind. It had a real effect upon them. And that's what the work of the Spirit does. It has a precious and glorious effect upon our souls, upon our hearts. And it's a wonderful, wonderful evidence that we possess the gift of God of eternal life. That these things are indeed the life of God to our souls. They're real. We rejoice in them. We bless God for them. And that's why we can bless God today, for the wonder of the resurrection. And so we can go on, can't we? We can look at the prophets. No doubt the Lord Jesus expounded the 53rd of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? Well, have you and I believed the great report recorded in the Word of God? Have we believed the truth of God? The majority of mankind have not. What a blessing for us if the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts so that we do believe the great truth of Scripture. We do believe that Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer and to bleed and to die so that our sins should be forever washed away in his most precious blood. Well, so much, isn't there? Think of 53rd of Isaiah. There's many other chapters in Isaiah which point us to the Saviour. We can move on to the Psalms. David himself had wonderful revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings. We can read about them in many of the Psalms, like Psalm 22, which directs us so clearly to the blessed life and sufferings of the Saviour. They're all wonderful confirmations that this all spoke about the Saviour. And here were these two on this Emmaus road now, having a face-to-face conversation with the blessed Lord himself. And he was telling them of all these things which described him, described what had occurred. It was now history. The prophecy had now been fulfilled. What a wonderful truth. No doubt, is it? No doubt to record. Did not thy heart burn within us? You see, we can move on to, again, what we term the minor prophets, and we can see there how the prophets were able to write down those things moved by the Holy Spirit to speak of the Lord Jesus, and how he would be nailed to the cross, how he would be scourged, all these things listed out in detail. And of course, he was to be born of a virgin. My friends, wonder of wonders, isn't it? Does our faith today stand upon the revealed Word of God? It's not our natural comprehension. It's the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, which has quickened our souls, enlivened our souls, and blessed us indeed with a wonderful, wonderful favour of spiritual life. That surely is what I hope we all long for. And I hope if we haven't received it, that we're on the stretch to God, that it may be so in our lives, that our hearts may indeed burn within us. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote some wonderful words in the second of Ephesians, and this is what he said in verse 11, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens," that means foreigners, "from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Everyone has been there. The great blessing today is if you and I have passed from that position to this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That sin atoning blood. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," between Jew and Gentile. Yes, what a mercy then for us today, if the Lord has come and touched our hearts, so that we know within the warmth of the work of the Holy Spirit, and we can therefore go on our way rejoicing. Well, remember then what these two said. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? See, as the Lord opens to us the Scripture, and there's some revelation, and we have a view of the Saviour, does it rejoice our heart? Well, I hope it does, because it's a proof that the word of God is true. Thy word is truth, says the blessed Saviour. Thy word is truth. Now it's good, you know, just to just read on what happened to these two, because we're told, and they rose up the same hour. This was good news. They couldn't keep it in. This was good news. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Remember, 3 hours' journey or so now, walking all the way back. Didn't matter to them the distance. They had some good news. And they returned and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Yes, they were able to speak. It was a wonderful occasion, wasn't it? Testifying of what the Lord had shown them. And it's good, you know, when the Church of God is in this position, that one another can come and testify of what the Lord has shown them for the glory of God. It wasn't, they didn't boast about this for their own gratification. They came to tell the Church of God what had been revealed to them and how their heart burned within them, the glorious effect of it. Well, it is indeed a great and a glorious account that we have. And my friends, it's a glorious resurrection that we are able to ponder. And may we know the power of it, because the power is very simply this. Christ Jesus rose from the dead, a conqueror over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And my friends, by the grace of God, we rise from the dead of nature into the glorious light of the gospel. And that light shines, and only shines, through the face of Jesus Christ. So I hope today, by the grace of God, our heart burns within us because of what Christ has done in order to redeem our souls, to redeem my soul. And we said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Amen.